You have searched me and you know me. Familiar in all my ways. You have laid your hands upon me. Such knowledge I can't attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where could I flee from your presence? If I make my bed in the depths, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I sail on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will hold me fast. Even there your hand will guide me. You are there. You are there. Searched me and you know me. You're familiar in all my ways. You have laid your hands upon me. Such knowledge I can't attain. Where could I flee from your spirit? Could I flee from your presence? If I make my bed in the depths, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will hold me fast. Even there your hand will guide me. You are there. And I will sing a new song, 'cause you love me. And I will sing a new song, 'cause you care. And I will sing a new song, 'cause you love me. And I will sing a new song, 'cause you care. Thank you. is the place I go when I need to get away. There's a peace I know that soothes my soul. This life I found, I know it's not my own. So when I run to you, it's like running home. I find peace, I find my way down by the water. He waits for me, where I find strength for each and every day. Joy in the midst of any pain, I believe down by the water, He waits for me. So if you're rolling the dice, and you're just trying to make it through, there are hands that are reaching out to you. And if you're holding back tears, you're just trying to be strong, there's a place that is calling out to you. This is the place that I'm always running to, where I find peace, find my way down by the water. He waits for me, where I find strength for each and every day. Joy in the midst of any pain, I believe down by the water, He waits for me. Here down by the water, here down by the water, here down by the water, He waits for me. Here down by the water, here down by the water, here down by the water, He waits for me. Where I find peace, I find my way down by the water, He waits for me, where I find strength for each and every day, joy in the midst of any pain, I believe down by the water, He waits for me.
Not
separated, no matter where you run. He's always holding on. You're still a daughter, you're still a son, no matter what.
You this morning, if you will, to take your Bibles and be finding Luke, the 16th chapter this morning. As you're turning there, you're going to want to be finding Luke, the 16th chapter, and be finding verse 19. We'll be reading verses 19 through 31. Well, family and friends, as we come to you on this Sunday morning, I pray that you have your ears on, that your heart's in tune, that you're ready to hear the word of the Lord unto you, because our God is a loving God. He is a great God, and one of the things about God is He never shies away from the serious issues in the Word of God. And so God is speaking to us today, and this passage that we're going to read in just a moment speaks about a most serious subject. The subject of our text has a great deal to do with our salvation, but friends, it goes beyond our salvation, because it deals with the destiny of those who do not have salvation. This text teaches us the truth that hell is real. And you see, Jesus is preaching here, and He's going to preach to us in just a moment about the seriousness of hell. And in particular, He's going to be preaching to us about a sinner's life in hell. And I want you to understand something before I get to reading the Scriptures this morning, that there is no picture that I can draw in human terms that will really help us understand the tragedy and the awfulness of hell and its reality. But I want you to know that Jesus says that hell is real. Now, follow along as I read the Word of God, beginning in Luke 16, verse 19. And the Word of our Lord says unto us, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty Father, we are so very, very thankful for another Sunday morning and another opportunity to stand behind your holy desk and preach the holy word of Almighty God. Lord, as your servant, all I can do is take your word to the ears of your people, but Father, only you have the power to take it down to their heart. And Lord, when we talk about this subject today that you are going to speak to us on, I pray, Father God, that every ear would be open, that every mind would be uncluttered, and every heart would be ready to receive the word of God unto us today. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of fire would roar through Green Valley this morning and into Russell County and everywhere that is being listened to. And Father, that your Spirit's fire would bring conviction to heart. And Lord, that hearts would repent and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, for it's the only way any person will ever escape the fires of all of hell. And so Lord, just be with us and guide us this morning and direct us as we speak the Word of God unto your people. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, the world in which we live, it mocks hell and makes fun of it and really doesn't believe it. They think that hell is just some made-up place that something preachers preach about to scare people. But family and friends, that's not reality, because hell is real, and Jesus says so right here. Jesus said hell is a place that was created for the devil and his angels in Matthew 25:41. It's a place to punish them for all eternity because of their rebellion against God. And so we find right off that Bible tells us that hell was not created for man, but because humanity rebelled against God and sin must be punished, then all of humanity, anyone who rejects the cross of Jesus Christ, will wind up in hell. All of humanity that rejects the provision that God has made through the blood-stained cross of Jesus Christ will find themselves in hell. They'll walk themselves over the only means of salvation available unto man. And so listen, God has made a provision. It's the death and the burial and the resurrection of His Son. And all humanity that rejects the cross and rejects Jesus Christ will wind up in hell, separated from all eternity from a holy and a righteous God. Hell is the place where the righteous wrath and judgment of God is going to be poured out for eternity. It's a place where every person who does not know Jesus Christ is going to spend their eternity. And Jesus wants you to know that hell is a reality. Listen, and since there's nothing that I can say about hell, you and I are going to have to trust what Jesus says right here in Luke chapter 16. And we're going to have to trust the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us to a new reality, a new understanding of what hell is really like. And listen, everything I share with you about hell this morning, I want you to picture and just imagine the opposite about heaven. You see, in Luke 16, we read the account of two lives, an account of two men, an account of two deaths, an account of two destinations, but today we're going to deal with one life, one death, and one destination. In our text, Jesus gives us an account of a sinner's life in hell. And I want you to note, first of all, the reason for hell. You find it there in verses 19 to 21. And we discover the reason for hell was for the rich man was that he rested in a false faith. Understand, the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. He did not go to hell because he had the finer things in life. He did not go to hell because he had money and he had pleasure in life. He went to hell because he rested his faith in these things, in the things of the world, instead of in the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, where are you resting your faith today? You see, this man went to hell because he trusted in pleasure and money rather than God. He trusted in his possessions more than in God. He was the type of person who was more concerned about this life and its pleasures than he was about his eternal destination. And when I stop to think about this, and I think about how this man trusted in his possessions, in his pleasures, in his money, in his material goods, I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" He went to hell not because of what he had in life, but because of what he did not do in life, and that was to place his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's only one reason why men go to hell and why you may be on the road to hell this morning, and it's because you haven't truly placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. You have not trusted Him for the forgiveness of your sins. You've not trusted Him, His grace, and in His saving power. And there are people all over the world today who are trusting in their goodness, trusting in what they can do and what they have, trusting in this world's pleasures, believing that everything is going to go back the way it always has, and they reject the call to repent of their sin and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So all over the world today, right here in Russell County, we have people who are relishing in their sin, enjoying their sin, and I'm saying be certain you're not one of them. And let me say to you that if you refuse to repent, one day you're going to find yourself in hell. You will have stepped over the only bridge to heaven, the cross of Jesus Christ. And so, because you, like the rich man, may have nothing more than a false faith. So understand this. We can see that the rich man went to hell because Jesus says so here in His Word. So we get to see right off the bat that he did not trust God in his life. Now you say, how do I know this? Because if he would have trusted God for his salvation, if he would have placed his faith in Jesus Christ, he would have demonstrated his love and his service for God by reaching out to poor Lazarus who sat at his gate day after day, but instead he ignored the poor beggar. Day after day went by, and all he did was look upon poor Lazarus with no concern, no help whatsoever. Understand, friends, that salvation is proven by our love and our service for the people around us. The Bible calls this a fruit of salvation. Now, when we think about salvation, we need to understand what it is. You see, salvation is not based upon a place in time in your life. Salvation is not based upon what you've done with your life. Salvation is not based upon a feeling you may have or don't have. Salvation is not based upon a baptism or church membership. It's not based upon whether you walk down the aisle and talk to some preacher like me. Your salvation is based upon the fact that Jesus Christ has changed your life and Jesus Christ has transformed your life, and the fruit of salvation is running through your life. And too many people today outside the church and inside the church are resting in a false faith, because the fruit of salvation is not coming through. Listen, friend, let me ask you a question this morning. If there is no fruit in your life, if you're not demonstrating that change and transformation in your life that only Christ can bring, is there salvation? Do you really have it? How can you say you have salvation in Jesus Christ by grace through faith if Jesus Christ has not transformed your life? And I'm telling you, if He saved you by His grace, His power, He will change you by His grace in His power. He is a transforming God. And then as He lives inside of you, you will begin to note He goes to work in you. You know, so many people have it wrong today. They just believe all I need to do is just go forward, talk to some old preacher in church, just pray the prayer to have salvation, but I don't got to change. I don't have to do anything. I just need to pray a prayer. Friend, that's not salvation at all. You see, our God is a transforming God. Our God is a wonderful God. And when our God transforms someone, they begin to change their life. They no longer go on living in sin. Paul put it this way, how can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? So again, I'm telling you, if He saved you by His power, He will change you by His power. He will transform you. There are so many today outside the church and inside the church who are resting in a false faith. They're resting in their possessions. They're resting in their good works. They're resting in their church membership. They're resting in a baptism. They're resting in everything else, but they are not resting in Jesus Christ. So listen to me. If there is no fruit, there is no salvation, and thus you have no assurance you'll be in heaven. And as I speak right now, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the awfulness of hell and the tragic truth that you, my friend, may be one of those who are resting in a false faith. Listen to me. There is no such thing as eternal security, eternal salvation, there is such a thing as eternal security and eternal salvation, and there's such a thing as the assurance of salvation, and the assurance of your salvation is based upon that fact that Jesus Christ lives inside of you, that Jesus Christ is changing you, and Jesus Christ is transforming you every day of your life. Now, why this passage of Scripture? Because Jesus paid too high of a price on Calvary for you and I to rest in a false faith. That's why Jesus has this in His Word. God loves you and I too much to allow us to rest in a false faith. The reason the rich man went to hell is because of a false faith. I need to ask you a question this morning, and I hope you're listening. Will you wind up in hell for the same reason? I want you to know that there is and are people today who are going to wind up in hell for that reason. But I also want you to know there is hope today for those who have been bound by a false faith. You can have the assurance of salvation. The assurance of heaven is still available through the cross of Jesus Christ. Family and friends, it's there for you, but you need to appropriate it. You must repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you must allow Him to save your wretched soul from hell, because it's that serious. And I can remember, going back about 15 years ago now, there was a little elderly lady who was a member of our church. She'd been at that church because I was in my home church pastoring at that time. She'd been a member of our church for, going on 20, 25 years. One day I stood there and I was just preaching the gospel. And Ruth got up from the back during that call. And she came forward. And she prayed to receive Jesus Christ for the first time in her life. She'd been a church member. She'd been baptized. But she discovered she was resting in a false faith. She had never truly trusted in Jesus Christ. Have you? Friends, it has well been said that a faith that fizzles in the end was faulty from the first. If your faith doesn't last till the end, then you better check and see if you had it from the first. It's not a matter of if you lose your salvation. It's a matter of whether you had it to begin with. The first reason given for hell is a false faith. There's a second reason for hell. And it's because of the experience of a fatal death. Verse 22. Do you know what the Holy Scriptures teach about death? Hebrews 9 and 27 says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. By one man sin entered into this world, and death passed upon all men because all have sinned." The reason people go to hell is because they are spiritually dead, separated from God by sin, and sin must be punished. And so there are three realities about death that we need to understand here this morning. Number one is we were sinners from the time we were born. The psalmist said, "I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sin. So understand that all men experience spiritual death, separation from God. The second reality of death is that all men will experience physical death. I can't tell when it'll happen to you. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next month, next week, next year. I don't know. But you cannot argue with this preacher that one day you are going to die. All men are going to experience physical death as a result of our sin. So if both spiritually and physically we are dead, then the third reality is an eternal death, separation from God for all eternity. Listen, all men are spiritually dead, and all men will experience a physical death, but not all men have to experience an eternal death, because God, in His infinite mercy and love, has provided a way for us to pass from death unto life and not perish. And I like that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to perish. I want to reign eternally with God forever and ever and ever. Someone once said, "How long's forever?" It's forever. Amen. There is hope. But for every person who is unwilling, stiff-necked, stubborn, you name it, to repent of their sin, eternal death is staring them right in the face. And only a fool would say, "That's not so." And we don't know the time. And we don't know the place. All we know is it's going to happen. And if you look at the cross of Christ and you spit in the face of God and say, "I will not accept your sacrifice. I will not accept your gift. I want nothing to do with you, Jesus." Friend, you're going to wind up in hell. The only way to be spared from the fires of hell is through the cross of Jesus Christ. The writer of Acts put it this way, "For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The rich man experienced a fatal death, and his fatal death was that he died in his sins. He rejected God's provision and he died a fatal death. And I want to tell you something, my friend. The next time someone looks you in the eye and says, I don't believe that a loving God would send someone to hell, you look right back at them and tell them, I couldn't agree more. Because if God wanted all sinners to go to hell, he would have never sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross so that we could be spared from hell. And the Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Whosoever will. A fatal death is coming to all men. But you don't have to experience that death because there is hope in Jesus Christ today. We see the reason for hell was because of a false faith, and the reason for hell was because of a fatal death. Third, let's look at the reality of hell here. There's a couple of things I want to mention to you this morning about the reality of hell. First of all, the reality of hell brings a frightful awakening. The Bible says here in hell, he lifted up his eyes. What exactly is hell? Hell is the dark, obscure place separated from God. It's a place of departed wicked spirits. It is the place of those who depart without receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Listen to how Jesus described hell in the Bible. And by the way, when Jesus was on this earth, do you know what he taught about more than anything else? Hell. Jesus loves you. And Jesus doesn't want you to go there. And so today we have another teaching of Jesus's on hell. Jesus talked about hell more than anything else. And he described it as hellfire. He described it as a place of weeping, of wailing, a place of gnashing of teeth, a place of torment, a place of utter darkness, a place of pain, a place of suffering, a place of agony. It's the place where the worm never dies, the fire is never quenched. It's a place of eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. And Jesus says here, in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he was in torment. Now that word, torment, means pain and anguish and severity of pain. And it refers to the pain inflicted upon someone in order to make them to confess their crimes. That's what it's referring to. That's the kind of pain that Jesus says is in hell. And listen, hell is an awful reality today. And Jesus said it's such an awful place that even I can't describe what it is, hell is really like. But I know this, every person that is not found in Jesus Christ is going to spend eternity in that place. Now, friends, in this pandemic, let me ask you a question. Did you ever believe that you would see a time when this earth would literally stop? The way we've lived life for so long has literally come to a halt. Could it be that in this pandemic, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to those in the church and those outside of the church today? He is speaking to all men everywhere, and the reason that we have this time out is that we might examine our hearts to be certain that we have faith in Jesus Christ, that we would not wind up in the fires of hell. And out of all the things that Jesus said about hell, do you want to know what the most worst thing is going to be? The eternal separation from God for all eternity. Oh, family and friends, the wrath is going to be terrible. The judgment is going to be awful. But out of all the things that a person will suffer in the fires of hell is the separation from a holy God for all eternity. And I cannot imagine not being in His presence. I can't imagine living without the presence of God in my life. The frightful moment for the rich man was when he closed his eyes and he woke up in hell. It's just that quick. It only took that long for him to discover that he was in the wrong place. It only took that long for him to discover what a mistake he'd made. It only took that long for him to discover that he was in pain and he was in torment and it was going to be for all of eternity, and it only takes the blink of an eye. And you're not going to be there for a week or a month or 10, 20, or 30 years. You're going to be there for eternity. You're not going to be there for a month, a week, 10, 20, or 30 years, and then begin to discover the agony and the pain. It's instant. The moment you close your eyes in death, you wake up in eternal hell, and you're there for eternity. His frightful awakening was coming to the truth about who Jesus really is. His frightful awakening was him realizing in hell that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of the world. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. His frightful awakening was him discovering that death and hell are serious business. His frightful awakening was coming to understand hell is real. And it was in his frightful awakening that he began to cry out for the mercy of God. Oh, God, have mercy upon me. I'm telling you, friend, if you die today without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you wake up in the reality of hell, it's not going to take but one split second till you begin to cry out for the mercy of God, but it's too late. It's over. What's done is done. And you're there for all eternity. And there is no second chance. There's no coming back. His frightful awakening was discovering that hell was real. His frightful awakening was that he realized that Jesus was who he really said he was. And I'm afraid that there have already been multitudes upon multitudes of people who've closed their eyes in death and woke up in the tragic reality of hell. And then they begin to say, oh, I believe in Jesus now! I cannot tell you how many times through the years that I've been called out to someone's hospital room or to do a funeral for someone who has passed away. And the thing that breaks my heart the most is to know I'm among lost people. People who have rejected Jesus Christ. People who refuse to repent of their sin. And they've now gone off to a Christless eternity. And I will tell you, in every case, those left behind wonder why the death of their loved one came so sudden. But family and friends, just as there's but a step between us and death, there's but a step between us and eternity. When you leave this earth, will you be stepping up? Or will you be stepping down? Death is upon all men because all have sinned. And I guarantee you that if you had a chance to talk to all those people who have passed on from a tragic circumstance, the one thing I can guarantee you is this: every one of them would say, when I woke up this morning, I never planned to step off in eternity today. I never planned on taking my last breath. Never planned on closing my eyes in one moment and stepping out into eternity the next. But that's what we're all going to experience. We're all going to experience death one day, for it is appointed, the Bible says, unto man to die, and then the judgment. And so today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you close your eyes in death, Jesus is saying to you from the Scriptures, in the experience of this rich man, You're going to wake up in the awful, tragic reality of hell, and you're going to be right there with that rich man crying out for the mercy of God. You're going to be saying, oh God, give me one more chance, but it's going to be too late. The reality of hell is that it brings a frightful awakening. But there's a fourth thing I want to mention this morning. And that's the response in hell. You see, some of the things I want to mention about the response in hell is, first of all, you're going to have a forever memory. I want you to know that remembrance in hell is going to be one of the chief torments for all eternity. Remembering everything in your mind, you're going to be going over and over and over and over it again while you're in the torment of that flame, day and night, forever and ever and ever. It's going to be like a broken record, like a song you can't get rid of. It's just stuck right there in your head. That's what remembrance is. Hell is going to be like, and the hollowest words that are going to ring out of hell will be the words, what if? Oh, if only I had done this. Oh, what could have been? In hell, you're going to remember. You're going to remember the pleasures in life that you lived for. You're going to remember the money that you trusted in. You're going to remember the life that you lived apart from God. You're going to remember the good times you thought you had. You're going to remember the times you laid off church because you never really were saved to begin with. Church was just an accessory in your life, something that you put on every now and again to feel good about yourself, but it was all about yourself, and you're going to remember that. You're going to remember how you refused to allow Jesus Christ to save you. Not only that, you're going to remember every time you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. And you're going to remember every time you had the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And make no mistake, today is another one of those opportunities. You're going to remember every time you put Him off and trampled under your sinful feet the Son of God upon the cross. Day and night for all eternity, you're going to remember all of the things concerning Jesus Christ. And as you're there for all of eternity, you're going to remember, oh, if only I had just went and took that preacher by the hand. If only I'd allowed him to bow with me. If only I would have asked Jesus to be my Savior. I wouldn't be here right now. And you're going to remember how you used to use some silly hypocrite as an excuse to prevent you from coming to Jesus Christ. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard people say to me, oh, Pastor, the church is nothing but hypocrites. And I always say the same thing to them. Well, come on down. We always got room for one more. And you're going to remember that silly excuse. You're going to remember every time the Spirit of God convicted you. But you said, not this time, Jesus! And you're going to remember it. You're going to remember every time the Spirit of God came to you and pleaded with you and begged you to accept His salvation. And you turned and said, not now, I'm not ready yet, I've got my life to live. Friend, I can't say it any other way. For all of eternity, you're going to remember it as you're separated from the presence of a holy and righteous God who loved you so much that He gave His one and only begotten Son to die, to take the punishment that you deserve. He was willing to give you grace. He was willing to extend you mercy, but you spit in His face and said, I'll have none of it. And you're going to remember it. But I want you to see something else here. There's a fixed separation between heaven and hell. Abraham looked at him as he cried out in the torments of hell. And Abraham looked at him and said, besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that you can't come here and we can't go there. And once you've entered death and have gone off to your eternal destination, understand there is no second chance. I know a lot of people today play these video games and you get shot, you die, you pop up and you get another life. Friend, it's not that way. When you leave this life, it's over. And Abraham says, you can't come here and we can't go there. Friend, you're either going to wind up in heaven or you're going to wind up in the reality of hell. And you need to know there is no altar of repentance in hell. The altar of repentance is here today. You're not able to be there, here, but you're able to be in front of that television, that computer screen, or wherever, and today that's your altar of repentance as I stand here and preach. I want you to know there is no invitation for salvation in hell, and there is no salvation in hell. There is a fixed separation. Jesus preached about the reality of hell, and Jesus preached about the life of a sinner in hell so that men could understand that no one has to go to hell. A provision has been made. A sacrifice has been made. The sin debt has been paid through the death and resurrection, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So understand, if you close your eyes and you awaken in hell, whose fault will it be? Hell is real, family and friends. Jesus taught that hell is a reality. And I pray that not one person here will ever have to experience the fires of hell. Not one person listening to my voice today. That's my prayer, that you will not go there. The rich man died because he had a false faith. He died because of a fatal death. He awoke to the reality of hell, and his response is, oh, what if? And then he asked God. He said, oh, Lord, send someone back from the dead to speak to my brother. See, I got five of them. And this points out to the last and final truth. See, the one thing I can assure you of is this fact. If you and I had the ability to speak to anyone who right now is in hell, they would say, repent and be saved. Don't come here. Jesus is who he says he is. Repent. As I close this message today, allow me to ask you just this one question. Where are you going to spend eternity? What are you trusting in? Father God, in our humanity, we forget just how awesome you are. We forget how much you've loved us. We forget the great cost that you paid to save us. Lord, for people the world over, forgive us for not having the fear of God in our lives. And Lord, even some of us who are saved forgot from time to time that you are a holy, righteous God who demands that we live holy, righteous lives. Father, forgive us for our failures. Forgive us for not holding on to a fear of your holiness and a fear of your greatness and a fear of your love for us that would cause us to tremble in your presence. And Lord, I pray that people today are trembling right now in your presence. I pray that we have a new awakening, a new understanding of the reality of hell. And I pray for that soul who does not yet know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Today would be that day. You don't know how long you have. Don't gamble with your life, friend. Every gambler loses. You don't know if in your next breath it'll be your last, or if your next step you'll go off into eternity. And I'm telling you, you need Jesus now, and I pray. I'm praying for you right now that you would bow your head and you'd say something like this: Dear God, I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and save me, because I don't want to go to that awful place called hell. I want to be with you. And Lord, lead me and guide me every day of my life. And I pray for that soul who sat in church so long they become gospel hardened. I mean, they've heard the gospel so much that the reality is they could probably preach the gospel, but they just don't believe it. I pray for those people today who are resting in a false faith. They've prayed a prayer, but their lives have never been changed. They've never been transformed by the power of God. All they have is a little insurance in time, but they don't have the assurance for eternity. And Lord, I pray that you've awoken them from sleep. I pray like little Ruth so long ago that right now in their home, they're getting on their knees and they're bowing before God and they're asking you to save them for the first time. And Lord, we trust and know that you will. And Lord, for those of us who walked with you for a number of years and know that we're saved, I pray that this message will have instilled in our hearts the holy fear of God that we're to have. And give us the voice to go and tell others. And take as many with us as we can home to heaven. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Brother Jeff.